Blog Talk Radio.
Joseph the Dreamer got something fresh for 2012. The album The New Beginning dropping soon. Hit single Hold On going worldwide. This mixtape is fire. In the grace of God, you will be blessed. Listening to this, homie, the track you're about to hear is supernatural crazy. This is DJ Slice saying peace. Joseph the Dreamer got something fresh for 2012.
I watch your face.
You hate
I
this is for everybody around the world. That's going to a lot. And there is only one God. The Lord is our light. All the pain at night, He shined through darkness. I pray for my people that's lost. That's why He was on the cross for our sins. This world's no more, so why not help the poor? Natural disaster, earthquake, Haiti, that's where my parents' birthplace is crazy. I'm still fighting with myself, holding on the truth. It's not good for your health. Time is running out, so keep strong. Even the road is long, so just keep faith. Love people that hate, don't look back. Family, friends, love them to the end. Here, grab my hand, and let's be a rock like the band, and jump up and be God's biggest fan. Let's go and follow Him to the road that's no longer cold. God help us all. Let's get up while we fall. Please answer when He calls. You gotta be honest, just listen to my voice. In this world, you gotta make the right choice. It's not about rich or fame. During hard times, you just switch up your game. My heart matches my body, my soul, my spirit. My people, can you feel it? Our God is the realest. Reaching for the stars, walk with me. Cause we gotta make it far. I've been places, I've seen faces. Very unhappy, not the devil trying to trap me. But my faith is power, so I'm scared that coward. So I keep flowing like the shower, minute by minute, hour by hour. I become my dream, every day I become my king. Keep a lookout, cause it's coming like a thief in the night. Get ready, no more fight.
Today is the power of God. The reason why I
chose that title because, you know, the power of God is grace, it's faith, it's love. And, you know, that power is inside of us, and we must trust the Lord 24 hours, 24/7 a day. You know what I mean? Like, just trust him. You know what I mean? So it's like the power of God is grace, love, faith, you know, and obedience. And that power is inside of us, and we must follow him. We must listen to him because he does speak to us. You know what I mean? So you have to stand still when this problem comes our way, when problem comes your way. You know, just trust Yahshua as much as you can, because grace, love, and obedience is inside of us. We got to trust in the Lord. The Holy Spirit is always around us, and he's the Lord presence is always around us, and he always speaks to us. You know, we must listen. You know, we must listen. And I'm going to read you a scripture on the Bible, and that's John 16. That's 14, chapter 14, verses 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwell with you and shall be in you. So that right there explains it all by what Jesus said, what the Lord said, our Father said in the Bible on John chapter 14, verse 16. He is in us. He speaks to us. And he's all around us. So it's like there's nothing for us to fear. We cannot fear. We can't be having doubts all the time and just sit there and let the enemy attack us. But we have that power, that great power inside of us, the power of God, the power of the Almighty, the creator of the universe. So we cannot be defeated because the enemy already been defeated. He's just messing with our minds to control us, to make us do things that he wants to do. But the Lord already has control. But you have to believe and have faith. And the power is inside of us. It's in our minds, it's in our great minds, in our soul, and our spirit. So I'm going to read that scripture one more time to everyone so they can really understand. You know, I'm not going to read it fast. This is not a race or nothing like that. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. Chapter 14, John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive. Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not. See, people don't believe in the Lord too much. They don't believe in the Lord, so they don't see him. They don't feel him. They don't understand him. The world don't see him. So even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it see him not, neither know him, but ye know him, that's us, but you know him, for he dwell with you and shall be in you. And that's, you know, that's verse 17, that's 14. Verses 16 and 17, that's the part I just read. I'm going to go ahead and on verse 18 and finish it off. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world see me no more. So if you're in the world, you will not have his presence. You will not see him. If you're in the world too much, doing the things of the world. Ye little while in the world see me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. Now on 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That covers it right there, that the power of God is inside of us. We must trust Him. We must have faith. And let's not be deceived in the last days. Please, people, let's not be deceived in the last days. The power of God is inside of us. And we must fear the Lord. We must fear Him. Because I know people say, don't fear Him, whatever, but we must fear Him to be obedient and follow Him. Even though we fall down a couple times or whatever, and we fell, but that's okay, because the love of the Lord, He's all around us. He loves us, and that's why He went on the cross for us. You know, because we're sinners, and we sin. But as long as we repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness and tell the Lord, forgive us, He will forgive. And then you must move on and not dwell on the same thing what you did yesterday or today and keep repeating yourself doing the same thing. The power of God covers everything. The power of God covers love, passion. He covers grace. And that's the word people be using, preachers be using, grace. And the Lord is the Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. So that's the title of today. The reason why I chose that title, because the power of God is in all of us. He's the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. What that tells you. There's many gods in this earth. We're the mini gods. We're the small gods. And God is the big God. And where is his children? We're his children. And we must follow Him on His way to heaven. We're here to train. We're here to love each other and treat each other equally. Because ain't nobody is better than anybody. Ain't nobody better than anybody, because the Lord Jesus Christ loves everybody equally. Even the ones that's wicked, He loves all of them. He loves everybody because He created us. And He sacrificed Himself on the cross for us because He loves us so much. All He wants to do is follow and be obedient. And not repeat ourselves all the time. Of course, the enemy gonna try and deceive us. That's why you gotta try the spirit. I have a sermon from T.D. Jakes audio. I'm gonna go ahead and play right now. It's called "Glory, Glory, God's Glory." It's a great sermon from T.D. Jakes. I will continue doing the sermon and have the radio show on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it goes Thursday, not Thursday, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. But after the sermon is over, we're going to go ahead and close with a prayer. And I hope you claim and receive the word, not just listen. And not just, you know, you just listening and, okay, I got the word, and you're not practicing the word. You must meditate in that word. Meditate in that word and receive it and walk in it. The power and fire of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Verses 14 through 16. Verses 1 through 4 and verses 14 through 16 of the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. It is our custom to stand for the reading of the Word of God. So we would challenge you, if you're not physically incapacitated, to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read as a family from God's Word. You may see people standing up after this, but that's on them. This first one is on me. After that, it's up to you. Amen. Again, the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 11, verse 1 through 4, and also verses 14 through 16. When you have it, say amen. Let us read in concert. I may drop out, but you continue. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Can you say amen? Interesting point there. Thomas, because he knows the danger that Christ is now in at this moment in his ministry, concludes, well, since Jesus is determined to go see about Lazarus, this must be the end. Let you know the danger that they were confronting. He said, we might as well go that we may die with him. This is the same guy who later did not believe that Christ was risen from the dead. But that's not my focus today. My focus is the fourth verse. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, I want you to repeat this with me because this is my subject. But I don't just want you to repeat it. I want you to also have the same intonation and the same voice inflection that I use to say it. Are you ready? Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's going to get some glory out of this. You did good. You did good. Let's try it again. It's God's going to get some glory out of this. Are you ready? God's going to get some glory out of this. I don't know what it is that you have been going through. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what the enemy has been fighting you. I don't know what catastrophic events have occurred in your life. All I know is that the Lord sent me here to tell you got it. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the anointing permeate this place. Send the kind of anointing that makes preaching powerful and yet simplistic, easy and yet profound. I pray, Lord, that you would hide my flesh behind the cross and speak words of life. Transform these lips of clay into instruments of power that they might be illuminated with your glory to the dimension and the capacity that is necessary to inflect the thought that you've placed in my heart. Bind every devil and every foul spirit that would hinder the word from having prevailing preeminence in this house. And I declare in this place, in the name of Jesus, your people shall be blessed. No devil in hell can stop it or delay it. It shall happen today. I declare it and decree it in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. On your way to your seat, just say, God's going to get some. God's going to get some glory. I love the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels in particular, as they depict and declare for us a definitive look into the character, the personality, and the profile of Jesus Christ himself. It is the Gospels that unveil the mystery around the deity of Christ himself, unveiling it out of the prophetic context from which we learn of Christ in the Old Testament. It reveals him clearly, succinctly, who he is in the world. It's very important because it is through the gospel that I begin to understand the chronicled day-to-day activities of Jesus Christ himself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John come together in a concerted effort to declare to me the various aspects of the one life of Jesus Christ, chronicled by four different men who depict and declare various aspects of who he was. All of them are gospel writers, profound and prolific, but particularly John is my favorite. I absolutely like him, and I have a tendency to prefer him because it is the Gospel of St. John that declares to me definitively that Christ is more than the Son of Man, that he is more than a prophet, that he is in fact God in flesh. It's John that teaches us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He distinctively differentiates himself from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who declare who Christ is by dealing with the genealogies of Jesus Christ. And they start out talking about so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so because they want us to understand who he is as a man. John bypasses all of that and starts out with who he is as God. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the wonder of his glory. This theme of divine authority that John begins in the first chapter goes all the way through the book. And whenever John talks about Jesus, he does it from the aspect of declaring definitively that Christ is not just the good man, but he is in fact the God man. That he is God wrapped up in flesh. That he is a water-walking God. That he is the God that heals the issue of blood with the hems of his garment. That he is the kind of God that arrests sickness and disease and plagues. John is powerful. Nestled, cradled in the Gospel of St. John is this particular exposition of the life of Lazarus, which has so much power in it that many, many preachers down through the years have used it to declare aspects about God that are very significant. Can I take my time? They write about it because it is powerful. They preach about it because it's powerful. They sing about it because it is inspirational. But John is very clear when he begins to talk about this issue with Lazarus. It is set apart from other people that God raised from the dead. You must understand that Lazarus is certainly not the only person that Christ raised from the dead. You need only stop by Jairus' house and see Jairus' daughter when Christ walks in the room and shuts himself up in the room with her and recites the word Talitha Kuma, damsel arise, and she wakes up from the dead. Or we could talk to the widow of Nain, who was in the middle of a funeral processional when Christ stopped by and touched the coffin that her son was in, and the voice sat up out of the coffin on the way to the graveside. What a mighty God. Your God is an awesome God. He's an incredible God. When I was growing up, we just said he's bad. He don't take no stuff. He can do whatever he wants to do. You can wake him up out of a sound sleep in the middle of a tornado. He can wipe sleep out of his eye and say, peace be still, and the winds are slain and the waves lay prostrate in the floor. Touch somebody and tell him he's a mighty God. He's not a passive, sissified, intimidated, insecure, underdeveloped, neurotic God. He's not a lunatic God. He's not a passive, infidel God that has no pattern, no logic, or no method. He is an intellectual God, a powerful God. The Bible says that he sits on the circle of the earth. He has all power in his hand. There's nothing that you're going through that's not up under his auspices, his jurisdiction, and his authority. There's not a demon in the underworld that he can't get his hands on. There's not a witch with a hex that he cannot bind. There's not a spell sent against you that he can't reverse. He's an awesome God. What a mighty God. It's this God that the text declares today. It is this God that it discusses with us today. It is this God, this Jesus. If he would have talked to Pilate, he would have called him a troublemaker. This troublemaker Jesus, this Jesus that won't shut up, that won't hold his peace, this Jesus that gets in people's houses and causes the roof to be torn off, this Jesus who delivers people from witchcraft and sorceries and puts prostitutes out of business and makes pimps go bankrupt, this Jesus who casts demons out of little boys, this troublemaking, water walking, tax-paying Jesus who pulls his taxes out of the mouth of fish. This Jesus who spreads a smorgasbord in the middle of the desert without a cafeteria or a stove. This Jesus. This Jesus that is revealed in our text today. And it is to him that we come when our heart is overwhelmed. It is to him that we pray when we are destitute and desperate and we need an answer from the Lord. And so I would ask you to just indulge me for a few moments this morning. I realize that I have chosen a particular passage which is well saturated with many opportunities to be expounded before you. And I understand that it's basically just a Sunday school lesson that you've heard all of your life. And I understand that I will not be the first preacher to preach to you about Lazarus today. I understand that. But just bear with me. In my folly and in my father and in my foolishness, and even if I appear to be a madman ranting, just let me ramble a little while in the hopes that I might touch on something that is inspirational or significant to you. Just put up with my rambling for a little while, because I believe that before I sit down, God's going to get some. Yeah, he's going to get some glory out of this. There's not much that I want to share with you. Just a couple of things that I believe are very important. Maybe about three things that I would like for you to walk away from this text knowing. But they are very important things. You must understand that this story does not begin with Lazarus' sickness. In fact, it actually begins with a rich relationship that exists between Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were not strangers to him. They were the place that Jesus went to whenever he went to Bethany. He stayed at their house. They had a pre-existing relationship that is important for you to understand, for you to appreciate the complexities of this particular text. If you don't understand that, you will misunderstand who Lazarus is, and you will think that Lazarus is like some people who come to church today, who only come to church because they're going through a bad time. They come to church because their daughter's got the measles and they don't have a cure. They come to church because they've been indicted to the grand jury and they're hoping that God will get them out of some temporary calamity so that they can ultimately go back to doing what they were doing before. They come to church because their marriage is on the brink of divorce and they want their spouse to feel like they're changing so that they will drop the divorce decree so that they can go back to being who they were. But no, that is not who Lazarus was. Lazarus had served Christ when he was well. He had served Christ before anything had happened to him. Mary had anointed his feet with oil and prayed over him. She had a worship life when things were going well.
Hey, people, the show's almost over, so I will pay God's glory again tomorrow from the beginning. It's good to have the word multiple times in your mind and your soul and your spirit over and over, to hear the sermon over and over so you can dwell in the word and have it inside constantly. So, people, you know, stay having faith, love, and be patient with the Lord, because he's always on time. The power of God is inside of us. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Let me close this with a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord Father. Thank you for the word, Lord Father. Thank you for the Bible, Lord Father. Thank you for the book of life, Lord Jesus, for eternal life you gave us, Lord Father. Cover us in your blood. We repent of our sins, Lord Father, and give us our new mind and a new way to walk the direction, and let us follow you in your blood, Lord Jesus, for we're in the last days. I pray to you in your blood, Lord Jesus. Amen. Matter of fact, we're going to continue Friday, not tomorrow. Sorry about that. But I think all my listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and all through online world and all the nations continue to listen to Faith Power Radio. I'm Joseph the Dreamer. I'm out, and have faith. Amen.
I watch your faith while you are asleep.
Yeah.
Arresting pain.
This is for you, haters.
I want to keep.
This is for everybody around the world.
Overcome everything and the obstacles. Hold on, live your dreams.